Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, March 6th, 2015. Wendy Wilson will be joining us here in just a little bit. But first, I got to say hello to Al. Hello, Al. Hi. It's Wednesday. Wendy is joining us, and of course, I just wanted to make a note to you before we go into the market report today, Al. The Treasury came out today, and they will double the money in government checking accounts. They decided to more than double the amount of money it keeps in its checking account in case of a possible financial market disruption, such as cyber attacks. They're going to run an operating balance of between $200 billion and $225 billion. And they believe that would be enough to pay for the government's bills for about a week. And since the 2008 financial crisis, they held a daily balance of around $80 billion. So, you know, I think if the Treasury is looking to increase their checking account, I would think it would be a good time to make sure people preserve their purchasing power by buying gold and silver. I wouldn't do exactly what the Treasury is doing, but I would do it with gold and silver. I would increase my checking account with gold and silver.
Janet Yellen was in the news, according to Reuters, just today, matter of fact. Janet, Fred Yellen says equity valuations high, warns of potential dangers. She's essentially saying, she was talking to Christine Lagarde, and she's saying, look, the stock market is overpriced. There is a possibility for a significant correction, and there are potential dangers there. This is, you know, another one of the dots. You've got a dot where the Treasury Department says we're going to keep twice as much money, more than twice as much money, in our checking accounts, just in case there's some sort of a disruption in the market, or maybe an asteroid strikes the Earth or something like that. And Fed's Janet Yellen says, oh, the market is overpriced, and there is a potential danger there. You know, you can connect these dots if you care to, and if you do, it's a good time to protect yourself. Why don't we talk to...
Let's go ahead and do a market report real quick before we get to Wendy. We have gold down $1.20 today at $1,192. We have silver down $4 at $16.58. Platinum was down $1 at $11.48. Platinum shows, or palladium, I'm sorry, shows no change. The USDX today is down a full point at 94.12. Crude oil continues to move up 0.23 at 60.63. and the paper markets today. They did come back in the last hour of trade. You have the Dow down 86 points, and they brought it back almost 100 points in the last hour of trade, 17,842. The NASDAQ is down 19, 49.19, and the S&P was down 9 at 2,080. The 10-year yield, 2.24%. The euro pulled back a little bit at 1.13. That was earlier in the day, was over 1.14, so it did come back a little bit on the day. Foreign markets, European and Asian markets are pretty much unchanged. Few points up, few points down, nothing to write home about. Now we can go to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Are you hanging with the flu or with the plague?
Oh, well, we're going to talk about, you know, do we have the flu or do we have the plague? Because the symptoms can be similar. And the plague got me thinking again. We've talked about plague before because, you know, California has a water problem. And, you know, people expect to hear about droughts from time to time. But if their deep aquifers become affected from the drought, we may see the fertile land of the West revert back to desert. So if that's the case, there's this transition period that we need to be aware of where wild animals that are desperate for water, like rodents, they can actually infect domestic rodents or other domestic animals and then infect humans with disease. So we got like 200 species of rodents all over the globe, and a lot of them carry what are called plagues. So the first recorded diagnosis of a plague on U.S. soil was in San Francisco in 1900. And by 1902, Al, Melody, the plague took hold, and authorities, they didn't want to panic the public because it would affect business. So that action actually led to the quarantine of the entire state of California. And with all this air travel coming from other countries where plague cases are active, like Asia, South Africa, and South America, it makes us even more vulnerable to disease. So research in the past has actually revealed that environmental conditions like we're seeing in California can contribute to the spread of plagues. So we need to be, you know, on our toes, ready to address a risk even if it seems very remote, okay?
Well, Wendy, I just read, I believe, that there was a plague was transmitted from a dog to a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can happen.
Which is rare for this country, or, again, is this another sign of the times with, you know, all the
scientists have been working. Science has been working with various diseases to transition that gap from the animal world to the human world, so it doesn't surprise me. Usually it was contained. You know, usually if it was an animal disease, humans rarely saw any of that in the human race, but with all the science now, anything is possible. And the thing I want to point out with plagues, especially bubonic plague, it can mimic the regular flu because the first signs to materialize are fever, chills, body aches, and feeling kind of weak. And even an experienced doctor can miss it, okay? And when you have a plague like bubonic, time is pretty much of the essence. So let's go over some of the bubonic plague, you know, get more details on that, on the specific symptoms. Because aside from the flu-like symptoms, what happens is the bacterial infection likes to really sink deep into tissues like the lymphatic system. So glands tend to swell. And when the glands swell, they press on nerves and people get tremors. And then what happens is there's extreme sweating and high fever, and then cells start to rupture under the skin. This is creating these bloody circular spots, which, you know, just horrified people of the 1700s. So what happens is that the infected blood is going to pool in the armpit and groin area, and then it becomes infected, and what happens is you actually die of blood poisoning or sepsis. So it's really important to get treatment quickly. But here's the thing. Since 1998, scientific medicine has known bubonic plague is totally resistant to all known antibiotics. So even if we had an antibiotic, you'd have to have it administered within 24 hours for it to give you any chance of life. The problem is people usually exceed that 24-hour limit because they think they got the flu. You know, they don't think they have bubonic plague.
How often do they have bubonic plague, though? I mean, are we talking about a threat that's significant at this time, or are we talking about something where one time in a million? What are we talking about in terms of percentage?
Checking with the CDC, there have been, you know, sprinkling here and there isolated plague cases of bubonic, and it has been in the dry, arid regions of the United States. So people who have been in contact with wildlife typically are the ones that come down with it. So it's not that it's been eradicated from U.S. soil. It's just that it's been in check. It's been contained, if you will.
Then you're saying that we don't have to worry about bubonic plague coming here from China, for example. It's not
right.
Like the avian flu where the birds will fly across the ocean or whatever and we wind up with a new dose of flu. You're saying the bubonic plague is already here. It's
right.
In the soil, and part of the evidence of that, if it's immune to antibiotics, apparently you're suggesting, or maybe you're suggesting, that it has a lifespan that it's hard to eradicate.
Well, it is, because it's really hard to, you know, isolate and contain people and quarantine, because they're carriers even before their symptoms start to manifest. So that's the challenge with something like that. And so my message is today, even if this is a very remote risk or threat, I think we should have a backup plan handy just in case it happens, and especially if you have instances like California, because what they have now is these animals are coming into the domestic areas, and they're attacking, you know, pet bowls of water sitting outside on a patio. Rats are actually climbing trees and jumping onto homes and coming in homes. They're getting real aggressive because they're thirsty. So I think this is a big risk.
And this is a function of the drought.
Yes, it is. It is. So,
okay.
And I think people need to keep in mind that, you know, even though antibiotics may not be an option, that a lot of power can be in your medicinal herbs, because they do have a lot of protein and minerals and enzymes and antioxidants along with vitamin nutrients that the immune system has to have to produce a defense to make antibodies to fight an infection. So even if you had an antibiotic, like I said, you'd have to have it really quickly in 24 hours. And even when antibiotics did work out, it only offered a 72% chance of not dying from the bubonic plague.
So, and I would imagine, well, I'm only guessing, that you would survive, but I'll bet it wasn't fun. But what
you're implying, at least, is
even if the antibiotics can protect you, it's going to be a painful battle to become among the 72% of survivors.
But there is recorded history that small villages and towns that had herbs, or what they called plague tonics, or herbs with the to fight this kind of thing, their mortality rates were much lower. So in the 1700s, most people had what was known as a poor man's antibiotic, Al, and that was your garlic. So often it was used to flavor food, but it does have huge medicinal qualities. So over the last 100 years, scientific studies have been discovering, in part, what gives garlic this power over disease. And researchers in 1944 found that the compound in garlic that fights bacteria, viruses, and fungus is called allicin.
Yeah.
So this is a very unique compound, and it enables the body to fight broad-spectrum types of disease. So your allicin will create an anticoagulation and a lipid-lowering action. So this keeps your blood flowing, so it won't clot or pool to become sepsic, you know, to become infected. So that's important. And garlic is also an antioxidant, which is another action that it uses to help fight infectious microbes and also prohibits high blood pressure from happening. But it is a complex herb, and science is still, you know, kind of discovering some of the health benefits in it. I would tell people, if you're looking at garlic, fresh garlic is going to have its most enzyme power. And research has said that the enzymes are a catalyst to help destroy the microbes in just 10 seconds. Okay? So they've discovered that the enzyme that offers the defense mechanism against disease is in garlic. It's called amylase. And You want to stay away from the deodorized garlic because that has all the analase removed, so all the medicinal benefit is gone. And also,
What about garlic? You get powdered garlic, for example, and use it to cook. Get it in a can, powdered, sprinkle it on your pasta or whatever. Uh-huh. Is there any medicinal capacity in that powdered garlic? Are we talking necessarily? We're talking about not just ideally, but perhaps exclusively, we want fresh garlic to get the best effect.
Well, I mean, if you had no garlic at all and you only had powdered's better than nothing. But I would say the fresher the better, the more enzyme action you have, because you do lose some of the essential oils and nutrition as a powdered or dried source. It does have power still, but not as much as a fresh version. So now, according to PubMed.gov, garlic has, get this, plenty of antibacterial action against both gram-negative and gram-positive bacteria, and including all those drug-resistant strains and things like E. coli and intestinal parasites and viruses and candida. So it's a very broad-spectrum herb that we can tap into. And I want to also mention, if you want extra power, the cousin to the garlic is your white onion. It also contains analase enzymes, and often people will pair them together for more disease-fighting ability. And if you think about it, these herbs have, you know, a wet and a dry cell. So when you don't really smell their pungent aroma until you cut into them. And what happens is there's this chemical reaction with these dry cells that creates these enzymes that help the system fight infection. So it's not fully understood how this is all working and how the body absorbs it to utilize it. But the garlic compounds in the body is in the fluids. It's in your urine. It's in your stool. It's in your blood within just a matter of moments, according to scientific research. They did this clinical study where they even tested people who exhaled their breath, and they were able to monitor and measure the garlic breath in people, and all the garlic compounds were in there just like it was in the body fluid. So it's kind of a neat thing just to see how quick that uptake is.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. What makes plague appear? You're talking about animals. We're implying that you don't really kill it. It's down there in the soil someplace, and it's kind of dormant.
Well, it usually comes from fleas, infected fleas, okay? So, and rodents have these fleas. And so whenever we humans come in contact with these infected, diseased fleas, this is when you get bubonic plague. Rats like to hang around millaries where there's grain, and a lot of times that's how in the past, in the 1700s, 1800s, if they didn't keep the rat population under control, and rats like granaries and things, people would sometimes get the fleas in the grain, the meal, and then they'd get sick that way. So rats are a real problem. They're the big one.
All right. So rodents are the main. If the rodents coming into town, they're coming in, living in your house, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have to be? Are you? Is this something you have to be bitten by the rodents? You have to be exposed to rodent body fluids. Is it something in the air, or what kind of contact do you have to have?
Well, if you're bitten by the flea or if you consume any of the flea's byproduct, that's why, you know, when fleas would be around millaries, their excrement would get mixed in with the grain and people would consume it in their flour products. So this is a problem. So it's a bacterium that can infect us several ways. Here's an interesting thing. Through gene DNA testing, Al, science reports 15% of Caucasian Americans have a natural protein that makes them more immune to bubonic plague, and they can survive the infection. So about 2% of that group.
And they would be coming out of what, Europe? They would be European stock, and they picked up something for their ancestors who survived the plague, and now they're able to do it too. Why don't you give us some contact information for people who'd like to learn more about what they can do to perhaps protect themselves from the plague and disease in general and just aging?
Sure, sure. We do have pandemic kits. We do have garlic juice. We have a lot of immune-boosting formulas with garlic in them and some other things for pneumonia, because that's a byproduct of bubonic. And by the way, bubonic plague strikes quick. In 3 or 4 days, people usually are dead, so you got to move quick with that. If they want to learn more about how they can protect themselves with a backup plan, they can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com, or call us toll-free for a free product catalog at 866-229-3663. For more information, 866-229-3663. Thanks, Al. Thanks, Melody.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you next week. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I was able to bring up the ADP report, and it shows that the fifth straight slowing in jobs creation, and of course, Friday.
Fifth month. Yep.
And this is the first time, and this is from the Washington. Let's see. It's a report from MarketWatch, I believe. It's the first time in 2 years the U.S. created fewer than 200,000 private sector jobs for 2 months straight. This is from the payroll processor ADP. So the U.S. created 169,000 private sector jobs in April, ADP said. This is based on their reports. After they did a downwardly revision, 175,000 jobs that were created in March. So job creation has slowed for 5 months in a row. And I believe the government numbers in job creation was 126,000 last month. So the ADP report shows a little bit stronger than what the government produced, but still they revised theirs downward since. So this gives you an idea what we can expect on Friday. However, the economist consensus for the U.S. on Friday is to report 233,000 non-farm jobs created in April. So this is what they're expecting. You might see a little bit of a jump from last from the month before, since they were 126,000, which is considerably lower. So you might see a little bit bump from the government numbers. But I think the importance of this report is showing that you're having five straight slowing months of job creation. That's the important.
And it's not inconsistent with Janet Yellen's apparent warning that there may be some risk. Well, she said risk is moderated, but that the equities are overpriced and there's danger there, meaning that the markets could drop significantly in the foreseeable future. And her statement may have even played into, oh, what is it, 160-point drop or whatever today in the Dow Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
That may have been the trigger for that. It's hard to say. Got another article here. This is from ArabianMoney.com. This is from an Arabian publication. All right. And the headline is, as bond prices tip over and crash, gold and silver will rise in price and so will oil. This Arabian publication believes that gold and silver are going to go up, oil is going to go up, and it's interesting from the perspective of to see how people in different parts of the world are looking at the economy right now and what do they expect, what do they anticipate. Right? In the ArabianMoney.com, they write in part, why did the Bank of Settlements hit the gold price so hard last week? Viewed against movements in the bond market, since then, it was obviously a last-ditch effort to prevent precious metal prices from taking off as the bond market tanks. Now, they see the bond markets going down, and they see, and they believe that the Bank of Settlements, BIS, Bank of International Settlements, hit the gold price hard last week. And in saying that, they're telling us that people in Arabia, they also believe that the markets are being manipulated, that the price of gold is being artificially suppressed. This isn't a conspiracy theory that's merely held by, you know, some people in the United States who have their tinfoil hats on too high. We have people in Arabia. They believe the same thing. Yeah, the Bank of International Settlements is one of the principal causes of holding the price of gold down. They continue and they say gold and silver have bounced back sharply to almost recover the losses of that last slap down from the Bank of International Settlements. The mysterious Swiss-based Bank of Central Banks has been warning long enough that a collapse is coming in the bond markets. It thinks we're heading for another global financial crisis worse than 2008-2009. That's not my opinion. That's not the opinion of American pundits per se. This is, again, coming from a publication called Arabian Money. They mentioned the imminent default of Greece has been pushing up yields, not only for Greek debt, but that of Spain, Italy, and France as well. And even German Bund yields have almost tripled in a week from the astonishing lows of last week when the Bank of International Settlements attacked gold, perhaps for the last time. They think... Now, that's interesting. They not only embrace
the conspiracy theory that the Bank of International Settlements is responsible for suppressing the price of gold, they also think that the Bank of International Settlements is running out of its capacity to continue to hold gold down. When they say, when the Bank of International Settlements attacked gold perhaps for the last time, they're saying that the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, they're saying they're running out of whatever they need, whatever money they need, whatever credit they need. They are running out of the capacity to continue to suppress the price of gold. And therefore, again, here's Arabian money, and they're saying, look, price of gold's going up here. There is a tipping point in all markets, and this seems to be it for bonds and, by extension, gold and silver. But make no mistake, the BIS can't keep doing this when the market turns. They seem to be saying that when the price of gold shifts back into a bull market, and they seem to expect this is going to happen in the near future, although they might be talking sometime this year rather than sometime this month. Not saying that's going to happen in the next 30 days, but they are anticipating it in the near future. The bull market in gold, they believe, will become more, it will become obvious. Gold will go from 1,200 to, say, 1,250, 1,300, and people say, ha-ha, the bull market is back. At that point, they're saying that the Bank of International Settlements will be unable to continue to suppress the price of gold. And as evidence, they write, after all, it could not stop gold from rising from $250 to $1,923 an ounce between 2000 and 2011. I talk a little about oil prices going back up, and they warn that pension and hedge funds, with trillions tied up in U.S. bonds, are going to be the main losers, and the capital losses involved will result in impoverishment and ruin for many older investors in their retirement. They're warning that something's coming. The bond market, they think the bond market is going to tip into some sort of a significant decline. They think that will drive the price of gold and silver upward dramatically. It'll drive the price of U.S. bonds will fall dramatically. Investors, and particularly retirees, will be hurt or depending on pension funds that provide that are based on those bonds. And they conclude, still, there is time to run out and buy gold and silver now before the price surge starts. Not so often do you have such an obvious chance to get out of the way of a steamroller, but there will be no second chances. Again, Arabian money. I don't know. You know, we can speculate just because it's a foreign country writing about this or a foreign region, a publication that caters to a foreign region. Doesn't mean they're absolutely right, but they, again, kind of parallel Yellen. Yellen's warning that we're going to have a problem in the equities market. Arabian Money says we're going to have a problem in the bond market. And Arabian Money in particular thinks that this is going to drive the price of gold and silver higher. And both seem to think that something's going to happen in the foreseeable future, but what that is, you know, who knows? This month, this quarter, next quarter, fourth quarter of the year, what are we talking about? You know, we need to call the psychic hotline to find the timing on this. But it's more evidence of a kind of consensus where people in different parts of the globe, not just myself and Melody, but people in different parts of the globe agree there's a problem coming. And if you want to protect yourself from that problem, you're going to have to take action. And the opportunity to take action may be growing short, though.
Well, you know, what happens is when these situations arise, whether it be a cyber attack or whatever, and if they shut the markets down, they need to do what they have to do in order to prevent any type of a bank run. And this is what Greece is trying to do right now. They're introducing a cash point tax in a desperate bid to raise revenue and to keep stop runs, to stop the runs on the banks. And,
you mean if you try to take your money out of the bank, pay a tax or a fee on that?
There's a $1 euro that's going to be charged that will apply to all ATM withdrawals and transfers over $1,000.
That's not going to slow anything down. That'll probably just accelerate.
You would think so. They're hoping that it's going to deter savers from pulling billions out of these struggling banks. They're expecting to raise about 180 million euros from this new surcharge. But, yeah, you're right. If they're trying to surcharge, I'd pay the fine and say, give me my money.
Well, exactly right. If I have a choice between, oh, it's going to cost me an extra dollar to get all of my money out today, or it won't cost me a dollar tomorrow because there won't be any money. I'm going to get it out right now, and they'll pay the dollar today and just...
Well, a lot of these citizens, the Greek citizens, have already completely cleared their accounts.
Yep.
They've pulled out more than 28 billion euros out of banks, and they're pushing the total cash revenue held in the country's financial institutions to a 10-year low. So the problem might not be so much whether Greece can pay their debt and their loans to the IMF. It's just a matter you can have your banks, you know,
well, yeah,
default. I mean, if they can't keep the money in the banks.
So they're having runs on the bank. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's not a run on the bank in the sense that we saw in It's a Wonderful Life with, can't remember the star of it anymore, but in any case, Frank
Jamie Stewart.
Jim Stewart, yeah. They had a bank run on the banks that was essentially all in one day. We're not seeing an all in one day run on the Greek banks, but
no.
It does appear that we have seen one that's been dragging out over a period of 60 or 90 days where sensible people are getting their wealth out of harm's way. They are afraid that they can't rely on the banks. Something's going to happen. They can't rely on the banks, and therefore they're getting the money and they're putting it where it's always been safest, and that's in the mattress. All right? Or for who knows, maybe they're buying some gold over there or whatever, but they're getting away from the banks. They're afraid that the banks are going to do a bail-in. Is that what's moving them? Or the banks are simply going to collapse?
I think the banks could very simply collapse if their reserves have gone that low. You had the stock market dropped over 4% today when you have almost $1 billion.
Stock market?
The Athens stock market, yeah,
uh-huh.
Where we have a billion euros of debt payments due to be paid in two separate payments over the next week. So. It might not be Greece defaulting to the IMF. It could very well be the banks just collapsing.
Well, that's part of the problem. Again, it's, you know, people have talked about this, a black swan event, something strange, unanticipated. You won't realize what it was until after it's happened. And we've used that metaphor of a black swan as if it was a rare event. That's the implication behind it. But other people have pointed out there are a plethora of potential black swans. There's a lot of things that could go wrong because the system is fragile in a lot of different places. And it's part of the reason that it's not a bad idea to protect yourself right now. We are looking at someone, you know, see a juggler, and he's juggling 2 plates. Okay, 4 plates, 8 plates, 16 plates. Our juggler is juggling 50 plates. And it's a pretty amazing thing to see that the juggler can juggle 50 plates. But at the same time, you have to sit back and say, call Las Vegas and see what the odds are that the juggler is going to drop one or more of those plates any minute now. And the odds are probably pretty good. All right, you're going to have a hard time getting a bet to get Las Vegas to take your bet and give you any odds. Oh, yeah, I'm betting he's going to drop the plate in Las Vegas. Say, no, he won't. No, everybody understands that we are the juggler has got an awful lot of plates up in the air. This juggler is extraordinary and adept, and it's amazing that they can hold as many plates up in the air as they are, but just the same, he can't do it for much longer. And how is he going to stop and set those plates off to the side? We're going to see some crashing plates here. And if you believe that, if that seems that's the way it seems to you, then it's sensible to protect yourself. Got a minute till break, Melody. Something you wanted to add, or shall I jump on to a little article on free speech?
Go ahead and do the free speech.
All right, here's one from The Guardian in the United Kingdom. Guardian is a newspaper in the United Kingdom, and the headline is Texas Attack Shows How U.S. Protects Free Speech No Matter How Offensive. And this is interesting to me. This is a foreign publication, but they're giving us they are referring to the events in Garland, Texas, which is where I'm located, where they had a cartoon contest for Muslim for cartoons concerning Muhammad, and a couple of Muslims showed up, gunfight ensued, and the two Muslims are dead. England, they're saying this is evidence. They see the positive side of this, and they're saying this is evidence of how the United States protects free speech in a way that can't be found anywhere else on the face of the globe. And that's the gist of the article. And I thought it was interesting that foreign countries would look at the events in Garland and not be bewildered, but in fact be a little bit, they are struck with a sense of admiration. The United States got a lot of problems, but we still are perceived to stand up for free speech. Let's take that break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom, and this is Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Oh, whatever you choose to do, Al.
Oh, whatever I choose to
whatever
do.
You jump. Choose to
come
do.
Here, Huckleberry. We got a fence for you to whitewash.
Speaking of Huckleberry,
yeah.
I believe Huckabee made his announcement yesterday that he is now going to campaign for the office of the President of the United States. I made that announcement yesterday, and of course now he's on all the news circuits. saying how difficult and how, you know, he thinks people are having such a really tough time. But, you know, I hear everybody talk. I hear all these people running for this office. But yet I have yet to hear even a small pitch of what they're going to do about it.
Well, they feel our pain, Melody.
They feel the pain, but they don't know how to
they
fix feel the
our
pain.
They don't feel their pain because they're not having any pain, so they feel our pain. They're very sympathetic about that, and gee whiz. And, you know, it's a good point. What are they going to do? What can't they? We've got Hillary Clinton, for example. She's come out here just today claiming that she's going to be an advocate for granting citizenship to illegal aliens. Now, she calls them undocumented immigrants. All right? Bull crap. They are illegal aliens. She wants to side with a bunch of criminals. She wants to break the law. She says, well, we can break the law. We don't have to change the law. We don't have to do that. We'll just break it. It's so much easier than going through the problem of actually debating whether we should or we should not allow illegal aliens. We'll just let them in and we leave the law the way it stands and ignore the law. What my, you know, this is another one of those situations where my complaint is not with the illegal aliens. My complaint is with the government that will not protect our borders. And we have people in positions of power who are more than willing to break the law. And some of them are running for not just Hillary Clinton. She's not the only one. We've got people that are candidates for the Republican nomination for the presidency who are also in favor of cutting some break for illegal aliens. I want to know, is there anyone in Washington who actually feels like obeying the law? Does that mean anything to anyone? Or are the laws only for the little people? Well, throw the, you know, the poor people, the middle class, yes, we'll jail them, but not the politicians. And everyone seems to just go along that the politicians don't need to be held accountable. And this, to me, parallels your complaint that people are running for office. They admit there's problems, but they aren't going to say what they're going to do about them. They feel our pain, but they aren't going to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm for. All right? And I don't care whether you like it, you don't like it. I am for this. And you can vote for me or vote against me based on this position. Everybody wants to stand there and smile and tell the world that they're really sweet guys and girls, and, gee, you should vote for them because they won't say a bad thing no matter what.
And whether they're saving that for later on, I would think now is the time to be giving some solutions. You don't give them all, but some solutions, some outline, some idea of what they have to offer now. So people, you know, they probably get a little bit more
publicity.
Well,
what do they have to offer right now?
I don't have a clue.
One of them is if you want to maintain the standard of living in this country, you are not going to go any deeper into global free trade.
Yep.
This is obvious to anyone who's looked at it since 1992 when Ross Perot...
And that's all they would have to say.
...giant sucking sound and the jobs would flow out of this country if we went into, if we passed NAFTA. Now, what do we have at stake right now?
Yep.
We have the Trans-Pacific Partnership, all right, that's sitting right here on the verge of being enacted, and I will bet you that our congressmen and senators who are considering a run for the presidency don't want to say, let's not say anything bad that might about free trade in order to support the people, because the economy is at least in recession in this country, maybe depression. Let's not talk about free trade because that would be bad for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Why not tell the truth now? Why not stop? If, you know, it's not just a matter of what you're going to do to help the average American. What are you going to do to help the middle class after you're elected? How about what you're doing today?
Now.
What are you doing right now? I'm not worried about what's going to happen after 2016 election. Starting in 2017, these people, whoever wins, goes into the White House. So we can sit back and wait essentially almost 2 years to see them do something good for this economy. What are they doing right now while they are congressmen, senators? Are they going to do anything, or are they just going to try to play nice? And to my mind, too many of them are just trying to play nice. All right? And I'll give Hillary credit in this regard. She stood up and said she's going to do what she can to help the illegal aliens. She calls them undocumented immigrants, but they're illegal aliens. She's at least taken a position. Yeah. All right. Whether you like it or you don't like it, she's at least taking a position while the rest of them are trying to play the sweetheart of Sigma Chi. Oh.
You're absolutely correct.
Do something now. This country needs the help now. Don't worry about doing the help in 2017. Do it now. If you're in a position of power, stand up and say something, do something. Stand for something.
For the first time in 5 decades, the U.S. is allowing ferry service between Florida and Cuba. There's going to be at least 4 companies. They were actually already notified of the approvals by the U.S. Treasury and Commerce Departments. And this is the first time since there was a trade embargo placed on Cuba so many years ago. Licensed were Havana Ferry Partners of Fort Lauderdale, Baja Ferries of Miami, United Caribbean Lines, Florida, and Greater Orlando, and Airline Brokers of Miami. So I guess you can fly to Florida and take a ferry over to Cuba now.
Yeah, and it'll be an opportunity for people in Cuba. They won't have to paddle across on a raft or something like that. They'll be able to catch a ferry into the United States. You know, we see people that are in favor of global, not just global free trade, but the idea that people should be able to go to any country they want, that's advocated. All right? Serious people advocate that the world should be free to go wherever it wants. All right? There shouldn't be any significant national borders. And that is a stupid idea. It's a dumb idea. It is a suicidal idea for a country like the United States or for Europe. Because the truth of the matter is, the cost of transportation is relatively cheap in this world. And where there was a time when people were trapped in their own country, and if their country, if the system of values and their natural resources, and especially their system of values, could not support them and make them wealthy, they just had to deal with it and perhaps find a better system of values to deal with their problems locally. Today, you can move from China, for example, to this country at relative, in almost no time at all, and at relatively low cost, low price. The truth of the matter is immigrants are going to be rushing from every impoverished country on earth to go to whatever country they see that seems to be prosperous. And when they arrive there, they're going to arrive like a swarm of locusts. They're going to know what to do to contribute to that wealthy economy. People think they watch they see a movie or a magazine with pictures of skyscrapers and attractive women getting out of, you know, Mercedes-Benz limousines or whatever here in the United States or Europe or wherever, and they say, I can go there and I can get rich too. Maybe you can't. Maybe you can't get rich. Not only because we have a problem with unemployment right now, we already have more people in this country than we have jobs for. Not just that. It's about your values. You can't just come from a foreign country and say, oh, I can use the values that I have to get rich in the United States or get rich in Europe. The truth of the matter is, again, Pat Buchanan, he pointed this out in one of his books probably 10 years ago. Most of what passes for civilization in the world right now can be traced back to Christendom, meaning the culture that grew out of Europe, the United States, Australia, right? Christendom laid a foundation of values that allowed people to be productive, and they became prosperous, and they set up something like civilization, more so than the balance of the world was able to duplicate on their own, because the balance of the world doesn't have the right values, and yet they have appetites. They don't have the values that are conducive to prosperity, but they do have appetites in the same sense that locusts have appetites. And they say, ha-ha, the locusts see a green field, and they say, that's for me. What happens to the guy who planted that field? What happens to the guy who intended to harvest that field and use the money from that field to feed himself and his family? The locusts don't care, and neither do the impoverished that are coming from foreign countries. And you can sit back and have sympathy for these people. I understand that. You can have compassion for them. They have problems. I get that. But if you won't protect what you've got, if you don't understand what you've got, and you don't understand what to value, therefore you won't protect it. So, oh, sure, let the illegal aliens come in. You know, there's no way that's going to help this country. It might provide cheap labor for multinational corporations, yeah, but is it going to help the people on Main Street? Is it going to help the people of the middle class? Is it going to help the people of the lower classes? It is not. The majority of America is being sacrificed to allow the wage scale to fall in this country to better serve major corporations. That's all. And it has to be stopped. It has to be stopped. It's not a question, you know, they say, oh, we have to protect families. We have to protect foreign families. We have to, it's like humane, it's compassionate. Yeah. It's humane and compassionate to feed the locusts. They will strip your country bare, and when it is, they're going to look around and see, okay, what's the next wealthy country? And they will all go there, and they'll strip that one too. And it's going to happen until we start to protect our borders, protect our nation, and even protect our values. I'm Alfred Adask, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur.
Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.